Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him and only him be the glory forever. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come.
Pray with me. Dear Lord, our great Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, so much for this time that we have to just come together, whether it be apart, but through this technology that we can just come together and still worship you. God, I pray that you would just speak into the lives of many through us, and that your glory would be shown, and that whatever is said, if it is not of you, that it would be quickly forgotten. And God, I just pray that during these times that you would just bring peace to those and comfort to those who need it. And I pray that we would just glorify you in everything that we do. Lord, I just pray for everything. I pray, Lord, you know what people need, God, and I pray that you would just fulfill that. And God, you are great, and we will worship you. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I may need some assistance.
Oh, man, I have been blown away with the outpouring of the church, Christ Community Church in particular, of the hands and the feet that have gone out and served and loved our community in so many ways. And it's been a blessing to witness and to see and to be a part of. Man, and I'm grateful that as our people are going and giving of themselves and of their resources, that we have a people that do it because they love Jesus and because they understand what Jesus has done. Now they turn and they go and they give of themselves completely. And so from people's hands and their feet to the giving of their resources and finances. And we just want to encourage you, man, let's keep going as the church to continue to do that. We are just so grateful as we move forward. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we trust that Jesus does. And until things return to normal somewhat, we're going to continue to be the hands and feet of what he has called us to do. And so I'm just grateful for our church in that. One last time, it is Youth Sunday. And I am grateful for our students. About 4 months ago, I had a few students come up to me and they said, we're ready to get ready for Youth Sunday. And for those of you that know me, 4 months ago, it might as well be 3 years out. I mean, that is a ways out. And I said, well, what's on your heart? What are the things that that God is leading you and prompting you to come start this conversation so early? And so over the next few moments, a few of these students shared what God was doing in them. And as I'm listening to this story, I hear the display of the gospel in these kids. And by the way, they were in order, no specific reason, but they were in order when they shared this. And the first student said, you know, Lincoln, God has been teaching me what forgiveness looks like, both to forgive others, but also to understand how to be forgiven. And the idea of what unconditional love looks like in that, how to love others, how to receive love from others. The next student starts talking about where he is in his season of life as it relates to surrender. And he says, you know, Lincoln, I'm starting to give things up so that people may see God and Jesus through my life, and that they would see me less and that they would see him more. And he starts talking about this story of surrender, and I just thought it was a beautiful picture. So now we hear this unconditional love and understanding forgiveness, and this next person talking about what it looks like to surrender. And then the last student said, you know, God's really been showing me what it means to be obedient. And I think of each of these areas, and I think, wow, those are sermons. People have spent their lifetimes on one of these and each of these throughout their lifetime. And yet they are sharing this, and this is where they are in their season of life. And so this morning, I would love for you as the church to hear the season of life of where some of our students are. And I hope and I pray that in some way this resonates with you, whether it be you're in a place of understanding forgiveness or extending it, understanding unconditional love. Maybe we're in a place of what does it look like for me to surrender, whatever that next thing may be, so that God may be made known through my life, through my actions, through my words. Or maybe you're in a place of obedience, where God is calling us to respond and to do and to go and to live out our faith in this world. And so with that, I want to introduce Dante Salamone. He's a senior. I'm excited about his next stages of life, but he's going to talk to and share a little bit about that unconditional love and forgiveness.
Good morning. My name is Dante Salamone. I'm 18 and a graduating senior. Some of you may know me from my involvement in the youth and the praise team over the past several years. I have a confession to make. Forgiveness is something that I struggle with. And everyone knows it's hard to forgive someone else, but sometimes it's hard to forgive yourself and accept the forgiveness of others. I have trouble with all of these. Forgiveness is a gift from God to humanity, and it is one of the virtues we as Christians have to demonstrate as well as accept. It's fascinating to me that we can mirror the God of the universe by simply forgiving someone who has wronged us and also ask for the forgiveness from someone we have wronged. I will be sharing with you all today a particular instance of forgiveness in my life. When I was 14, my family decided to move from Ohio to North Carolina. It should have been exciting. Instead of viewing it as an opportunity and an adventure, all I could think about was what I was losing. Friends, family, and a sense of safety with what I regarded as my life. I did not even stop to consider the fact that God could be leading me down here for a reason, or that God was leading my parents down here for a reason. I eventually found that out forever, because when God is leading you somewhere and trying to get your attention, he will. I was blinded and almost addicted to my anger at the thought of moving. I was familiar with it, and I didn't want to lose it. It was the only feeling I really knew at that point. I would pray for my Heavenly Father to give me what I wanted, but I didn't pray to hear what he was intending for me. I said 100 times before that I would follow God where he'd lead me, but I never stopped to consider that God would lead me somewhere I was reluctant to follow. I didn't have a clear understanding of what the future had for me, and it scared me. Eventually, God reached me by cutting out everything I was distracting myself in my life with him. I found out that I had to have knee surgery in the middle of my football season, right while my family was planning on moving. I was crushed. It was the one thing all my friends and I looked forward to all year long. And now that I was possibly leaving that forever, I was having it taken away from me? I couldn't understand why. My parents wanted to have my surgery as soon as possible so I could be walking again when we moved from Ohio. However, it was still slightly up in the air and the details were still being worked out. And when I went to the doctors, I knew God was trying to get my attention, because the knee surgeon said, without having any idea of what was going on in my life, that they had a date for me to have my surgery and I would be able to start walking again the exact day that we wanted to move from Ohio to North Carolina. I was stunned, sitting there realizing that God was pursuing me, even though I had tried to block him out. Instead of asking for forgiveness, however, I grudgingly accepted that the situation was beyond my control, and I took out my anger on my family. When we moved here, there was nobody we knew, so we were together a lot. I was horrible to live with. My mother described it as living with a bear. I was angry at my parents, and instead of being there for my siblings who were going through the same thing as me, I shut them out and fought with them constantly. Eventually, my parents said they had found a church that they wanted to go to, and it just so happened to be this one. I didn't want to go to church. I wanted to stay away from people and wallow in my despair and anger a little bit longer. But my parents got me to go, and I walked into Sunday school, head held high, ready to make a good impression. I'm a very social person, and I was ready to make friends with these people and hide my anger. I walked into Sunday school, and the first words out of Lincoln Walter's mouth were, "All right, today we're going to be talking about following God, where he leads us, and what that looks like." I was stunned. Lincoln didn't know me or what I was going through, but God was speaking through him to me in that moment, saying, "Dante, I have a plan. You don't have to see it to know that I have one for you. Let me lead you and let me show you." That began a long process of forgiveness, because although I believed I accepted God's forgiveness, I hadn't accepted that I needed to ask for forgiveness to reconcile with my family, and I couldn't honestly accept God's forgiveness until I healed the wounds I had created. It took a while, but we finally got there, with me finally recognizing that the problem was me and not my parents or my siblings, and my family being gracious enough to forgive me. Now, I thought that this process was me figuring out how to trust God and to follow him where he leads me. But as the years have gone by, I've also realized it was teaching me how to forgive and to be forgiven. God's love is stronger than anything, and a part of that is forgiveness. I saw God's love for me through this church, and it opened my eyes to the reflection of that love that my family has showed me throughout the years. In the Bible, the greatest picture of forgiveness we see is Jesus on the cross. That the Son of God would lay down his life for us to have eternity with him and the Father is a beautiful demonstration of what forgiveness is. But I would like to draw your attention to a moment that happened on the cross that is sometimes passed over, but is to me reaffirming what Jesus is doing and putting into action. Two criminals were crucified with Jesus. In Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43, it reads, "One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other thief rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly I say to you, Today, you will be in paradise. Even as Jesus is being crucified, he shows us that he is willing to forgive all of humanity. But I want to look at this from a different angle. Which of the two thieves are you? We would all like to think we'd be the thief asking Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. But in reality, I think we'd be far more tempted and familiar to the thief who questioned Christ in unbelief. So if I can leave you with anything, strive to be the thief who realized who his Savior was and ask for and accept the forgiveness and never-ending love of the God who has sent his only Son to die for you and me on the cross.
Good morning. My name is Nathaniel Guffey. I am a junior in high school, and I used to be a swimmer. I was a competitive swimmer for over 6 years, and in the later years of my swimming, I was in the pool 20-plus hours a week, including hours and hours in the gym. My life was swimming. I had my life planned out for the next 7 or 8 years, with every second of my attention focused on the sport, and I was good at it. I was on track to go to a Division I school and to compete in national competitions. And I was placing highly in competitive meets. And there wasn't room for anything else. But the summer of 2019, God changed my life. It was mainly at the Big Stuff trip that our church attends yearly. And I heard the Lord speak to me clearer than I'd ever heard before. And I knew this was not me. I was not a swimmer. I surrendered to God and walked away from swimming and everything it was offering. I knew I needed to re-surrender my life to God. Since then, I've been learning what it means to surrender. Learning that surrendering to God is not a one and done, but a continual choice to surrender your time, your relationships, your money, your life. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son from me, your only son from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham was living a surrendered life to God. He responded to God by offering the thing that mattered most to him here on earth. That is the ultimate demonstration of what it means to surrender. It wasn't a convenient surrender. It was a costly one. It wasn't a surrender when you want to, or when he felt like it, or when it makes sense for him. Rather, it was a surrender based on a trust in something or someone much bigger than himself, God. This is a trust in God and realizing that he uses everything for good. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Surrendering to God is a choice, the continual choice to surrender what you have to the Lord. Making the decision to say, I am going to surrender and trust the Lord with this. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What might the Lord be calling you to surrender to him today in this coronavirus time? Is it your time? Opportunities in front of you? Your finances? Freedom? But don't just surrender what you have to him. Trust in him. Trust him with where you are now. In what ways could you acknowledge him today? What is the Lord calling you to trust with him today? Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Have peace in that today, Christian. God is good. In this time of uncertainty, in this time of not knowing what comes next, trust in the Lord. Surrender this time we have here on earth to him. Acknowledge him in everything you do.
My name is Caleb Wells, and I'm a senior in Christ Community Church's youth. You may know me. I do a Bible study on Saturdays and I'm part of the worship team. But as a child who grew up in a Christian home, I was told many times about the basics of Christianity, about why I had to get up every Sunday morning, dress nice, and sing songs in a large building. I was told that once I accepted Jesus into my life, I would be saved from my sin and have eternal life with him. And I understood this very well. And like some of you, at a young age, I accepted Jesus into my life. That night, I felt an overwhelming joy that I could not explain. But with my limited understanding, I thought that because I said the words, I accept Jesus as my Savior, I was saved, and that was it. How many people do we know that say they are Christian, but deep down you are skeptical if they really believe? The third part of the gospel is this, that although there is nothing we can do to earn or deserve our salvation, surrender to God should come a life of obedience. So why should we be obedient? This seems like a silly question to ask, but so often we forget about the reasons why we do the things we do. As Christians, God calls us to obedience. And although we do not obtain grace because of our obedience, true faith and belief in God should bring about the willingness and drive to be obedient. In James chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." Our obedience, works, and deeds, which are in line with God's word, not the world's, proves our faith and that we love and follow God. Our faith is not just facts. It is a delight in God, and our obedience proves our love and delight that we find in God. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus tells us that if we love him, then we will obey what he commands. Think about Abraham when he was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac.
in that he proved his faith and that Abraham loved God more than anything in the world, even his only son. In 1 John chapter 2, it says this: "We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands." And then later it says, "Whoever claims to live in him must live like Jesus did." We are called to live like Jesus and to keep his commands. And if we fully believe that Jesus died for us, then we will keep his command and we will be obedient. You see, if we let our actions define who we are, then we will quickly be defined as slaves to sin. But when we let God define us, we will be defined as children of God, and our actions will be according to his will. I recently saw the movie Saving Private Ryan, which is a movie about a group of 8 men sent out to find a soldier whose 3 other brothers died in combat, with their mission being to keep him alive so his mother back home will not be childless. At the end of the movie, there's a very touching scene in which Captain Miller saves Private Ryan's life, with his final words being, "Earn this." It then cuts to Private Ryan at old age at the grave of Captain Miller, telling him that he lived every day thinking about his sacrifice and living the best life he could because of those words. Christ Community Church, we have a God who did something even greater than taking a bullet for us. He saved us from ourselves, our sin, that separates us from eternal life with God in heaven. How then should we live our lives? How can we recognize the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and the internal implications of that and not want to live every day for God? Our absolute faith and belief in him will produce the want to live for him. If we believe that Jesus died to bear the burden of all we have done wrong, then doesn't it make sense that our actions would reflect that idea? Just like if I believe this podium exists, then I will act like it and expect it to hold my Bible. If we believe that we are given grace by God, then we should live our whole life for that reason. In the Great Commission at the end of Matthew, there's a verse that is often overlooked. Jesus says this: "Although all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's what most people focus on. But right after, he says this: "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Through the Great Commission, we are not only called to make disciples, but to teach them to obey our Heavenly Father. And now, I don't know about you, but I'd say it's pretty hard to teach something that you don't know. So if we want to follow this call of the Great Commission, then we first must know how to obey. So how do we pursue this obedience? It's simple. Pursue God. Know him more. Spend more time with him in prayer and in his word. Understand your relationship with him, and reading his word is the only way to know how God wants us to act. An example of this is in Galatians. We are told to walk by the Spirit by showing love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These fruits of the Spirit are living proof of your salvation in the presence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. In this broken world, temptation is all around us. May we be people that brings God with us wherever we go. May we be intentional in living out what God desires from us, his people. In his word, we are also called to obey earthly authority as long as it is in line with God, and that doing so glorifies the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 says this: "Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority." This means that as much as I want to go out and work out on the track or hang out with friends because I can no longer see them at school, I'm called to obey the quarantine in place, and by doing so, I'm glorifying God. Whether if you're close to God or not doesn't change the fact that God will always show you grace and forgiveness. But he desires for you to show your faith by your actions. Right now, we are in times that we would not consider normal, so practical application for obedience may look different. May we be intentional. Intentional about taking time out of our day to be with God, whether it be reading his word or in prayer. Let's be intentional to encourage our family, our parents, siblings, loved ones, and tell them that you love them. And may we also show them through our small actions that God loves them. The call to obedience isn't necessarily easy. Remember why we should be obedient to God and all that he has done for you. Think about the forgiveness and grace he has shown you. We worship a God who is greater than all, one that will never let you down, one that will never forsake you, one that will always have your back. Our obedience tells a story to those we do not speak to about the forgiveness we do not deserve, but was graciously given to us. Our obedience shows our surrender to a God that is greater than this world. Our obedience is the living proof that we believe and a living God that we can forever find hope in. Friends, I urge you to not just say the words, "I accept Jesus as my Savior," but to also live your lives in obedience to the one true God so that his mercy, grace, and peace will be made known to the world. Amen.
Of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe.
Church, God is at work in the life of our family, our church family, from the hands and the feet that go out and love and serve our community to the hearts the hearts of our youth. God is at work. So be encouraged, for our God reigns.
Christ Community Church, let's close. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you, his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace. And he will. Amen.